This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
That's right. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and taking your calls 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Give us a call after the Jags get the win, 13-6, winning 2 out of 3 since the bye, and maybe we'll start talking about playoffs soon.
but you know what's funny? 2015.
You know what's funny about this? You can look at it the way Indy's playing right now, the way Tennessee's playing right now, and the way the Jags are playing right now. The Jaguars are playing the best in the AFC South of any team out there.
You know what? This is the time too that you want to be playing your best football going into December. This is, you know, it's all about, you know, when I played, having yourself in a position at this time of the year where you're competing for a spot. Unfortunately, the Jags aren't. But this is when you want to play your best football. Going into December, the latter part of the season, I mean, this is it. This is what Gus Bradley wants to see, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking a Houston team that is like the Cardinals. Deceptively good, even though they didn't play like it, and the Jags came out and took it to them. I mean, one of the best defenses in the league. Their offense is, you know, near the top of the league as well, and the Jaguars just dominated them, I think, on both sides of the ball, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where Houston just couldn't do anything against our D.
Nothing at all. I mean, you figured the toughness, the energy. This is a new team. You know, it does help, though, at the same time, if they're playing against Keenum. You know,
but Keenum's had some good games this year. He's looked pretty decent. Lately, not so much the past couple games, but he started off pretty hot.
Well, you know, they're 2-9. They got the same record as the Jaguars. So, I mean, stats a lot of times can be misleading. It's a lot of, you know, they haven't, I don't know, well, I guess they have played a lot of the same teams.
Well, yeah,
the Jags,
you got to look at their record. Most of those losses have only been by 3 points or even less. I mean, those games are all close. It didn't matter whether they were playing Seattle. I think they lost by 3, and then they, you know, play Oakland, and they lose by 3. So it really didn't matter. They were keeping every game close, whereas the Jaguars are 2-9 and
getting blown out,
getting
a couple
blown
times.
Out every game. And now, at the same time,
a loss is a loss. I mean, whether you lose by 1 or you lose by 20, you know, in the one win-loss column, that's all that matters, you know, and they've lost just as much as the Jaguars are. So I think this was a pretty much evenly matched game.
And you get to see him again in 11 days.
Yeah, right up on a Thursday night, prime time.
I was impressed by Chad Henne. I mean, the guy, we're usually saying, you know what, they won despite Chad Henne. I think he contributed to the win this week, throwing no interceptions for the first time in a long time. 239 through the air, and he looked like he was in control. He was sitting in the pocket, making throws. He was doing the things you needed to do, and he wasn't making those crucial mistakes that you see him make constantly, basically, the last, you know, 3-4 weeks.
I would have to say Chan Henne was the reason why. You know, he controlled the game. He was a game manager this time. He wasn't expected to have to make huge plays, but not mess up the game and allowing the playmakers to get something done. You got the ball in Ace Sanders. He comes up with a big play. Maurice Jones-Drew continuously having him play a major part in the offensive production. That's how it's going to get done. You know, Henne did a good job in making the right decisions.
Maurice Jones-Drew, the man. He looked reborn today. I don't know. Whatever he was drinking before the game, he needs to do that every single week. Looked like the old Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, it looked good, but it's actually the yardage, especially in the rushing game. He had 84 yards, but he got 44 in one play. So, I mean,
But he looked quicker.
He looked better.
He didn't go down by the one-arm tackles anymore. Like, he looked like he was actually a Maurice Jones-Drew of old.
And get in the end zones. That's one of the things that Maurice is really, you know, that's his deal. Him in the end zone. He's like a magnet to the end zone. So
taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Robert and Mandarin to start it off. Robert, how you doing after this big win by the Jags in the division?
Guys, I'm doing pretty good. And let me just give you this observation. I'm sure everybody's picked up on this. I've seen a bad Jacksonville team that, for one, has still not given up this season, which I'm glad to see. Also, you know, they beat a Houston Texans team which was depleted and down in different areas, but they took advantage of their opportunities and they won, and that's what a team is supposed to do in this league, take advantage of your opportunities and win, even if they're playing with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, great points. I mean, that's what I said. They're deceptively good. I mean, you look at the yards, you look at the stats, the way they've played, and all their games have been close. They've just, you know, bad bounce here or there. And the Jaguars, I think, owned this game. It wasn't just, they got lucky. I think they owned it from start to finish.
Yeah. Getting started fast. You figure it's the third week in a row where they've come out, opening drive, six. That's good. That's the only thing
that I don't like. I don't like the way they start fast and then they just disappear the entire rest of the game. It's not like they just disappear for a little bit. It's almost the entire rest of the game. Now, should I just be happy because we're not expecting them to win much and we're not expecting the offense to do much, that they're scoring enough points to win? Or is it something that's really concerning that they can score early and then either teams adjust or they just fall off the face of the earth for 45 straight minutes?
For the offense to come out, set a tempo, be able to get in the end zone is major. You want that in any game, just to go ahead and start out and start out with your team ahead. I think that's huge because all of a sudden now you play some urgency on the other team. And that's what you see. The other team kind of picks up their tempo. You know, after they score, of course they go back, drawing in the dirt, figuring out how we can stop these guys from scoring. So as the game goes on, it gets a little bit more difficult to get into the end zone considering the changes that the other team is going to make. Versus your offense or defense, for that matter.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Will on the south side. Will, how you doing this afternoon? Will, you there?
Will.
Or Nick, I'm sorry, Nick.
Yeah, that was how me. You that was doing, guys? Marco.
What's up, Nick?
Marco, in the second half of the season, coming off the bye, I have seen players like Tyson Alualu and what's the guy named number 90?
Branch.
It seems as though they're doing better with a different mix of guys in there. So, do you think we should give up on Tyson Alualu at this point next year, or should we just keep the guys in there that he's good?
He's the only first-round pick we have left at this point.
Well, Tyson has kindly been, actually, to his defense, have been put in a different position. He's been a defensive tackle for the most of his career and in college, and now he's asked to go out wide and play a different position as a defensive end. It's a little bit different, and I'm having an opportunity to play both positions. It's more of an adjustment for a guy going from the defensive tackle to the defensive end because you have to understand and the patience, because being on that end, players are going to come to you, and it takes a little bit longer for them to come. Being at the tackle, you can get penetration. The plays happen, boom, 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 a lot faster. So he's had to adjust to playing and going against smaller, quicker guys within the tight ends. And I think you've seen him get better as the season's gone on playing that position. Today, I think he was very dominant versus the tight end. Probably the best push I've seen all season long versus the tight end. You would say, okay, hey, Tyson is bigger than these guys. Why hasn't he been able to do it? It's because those guys are quicker. They're better athletes, and he's adjusting to that and playing a better job. Branch, he's picked up his game, definitely. I don't think he's quite ready to overthrow Alualu. I think maybe the question should be more about Mincy. Hopefully his situation gets better. He can come back and add some more depth to the defense. But Alualu, I think he's played better as the season's gone on in his new position as a defensive end.
Not that he's been on different teams, but, you've been on different teams. He's had three different head coaches now, three different systems. How long does it take you to get to adjust as a defensive player just to learn the system and then start playing better?
It's really tough. You see the guys that have a long-term success, they have stability in their coaching staff. To come in each and every season and the playbook, what's expected, where you're going to sit, that makes a huge difference. So now you can really just focus on your craft and your skill. For Tyson, it's probably a lot more time spent on where he's supposed to fit, especially here in his third season, having to adjust from being a defensive tackle now to being a defensive end. He was just trying to figure that out. And now he has to learn a whole new aspect of the game, and believe me, it is the difference.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Saqib. How you doing today, Saqib?
What's up, guys?
You got to feel good today, Saqib.
Hey, man.
Diehard Jags fans out there. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. I said, what can I say, man? These guys do not give up. I mean, the defense, to me, has played so much better since the 49ers game. That we looked so lost during the 49ers game. They have, I don't know what they did when we were off that 1 week. It's a lot better. The pass rush is a little bit better. We didn't have a good pass rush during the San Diego game, but it has been a lot better. And I'm really proud of the guys, not giving up. Even though we have 9 losses, they never give up. They kept playing hard. And I'm really proud of the guys. And, hopefully they just keep it up against Cleveland this week and I'm going to be rooting for them no matter what.
Yeah, great call. That's the thing, too, is I had to do an interview with a Houston station. They were asking about the Jags. That's the one thing I said about this team. Wins and losses aside, you can tell that they never give up. They play hard no matter what, whether they're getting blown out by 40 or it's a real tight game like this one. You always see the defense playing at least with heart. I'm not going to necessarily say well, but at least with heart, and they don't give up.
I'm going to say as an entire team. I mean, you know, right now there's nothing really to play for but the wins. You know, not planning to go in the playoffs or anything, but the plan for the win is probably is the most important thing. And these guys are showing the pride and also the taking onus of their responsibility of being employed by the Jaguars and going out and giving their best efforts, regardless of what the record says.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to take more of your calls after the break. The lines are jammed. Wanted to talk about this big Jaguars win. And visit Jaguars.com and check out the Inside the Jaguars driven by Tom Bush to get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the Ultimate Jags Game Day Experience. Coming right back here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. It is brought to you by PRI Productions. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and we're taking your calls. Want to hear from you after the Jags big win, 13-6. The number is 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Ken on the west side. Ken, how you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Big win.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I am a Jaguar fan, but I just want to get you guys' opinion. I didn't see the whole game, but I saw the fourth quarter, and to me it looked like the Texans did not play like the Texans. It just seemed like they were just blowing plays that they couldn't. They normally didn't blow. Do you guys think it's possible that the Texans were just losing the game because they want to get the top pick in the NFL draft? I take comments in the off the air.
You know, if it was closer to the end of the year, I could maybe consider it. But you got to realize, the guy who was throwing the ball, Case Keenum, he was the one that was just missing guys ugly. If anybody wants to have a good game, it's him, because he's got to prove that he can be a starting quarterback. I mean, he's getting his chance, and if he proves that he's the guy, the Texans might not draft a quarterback in the first round this year. So there's no way he'd be wanting to throw a game.
Yeah, you figure Case Keenum, backup quarterback, missing out on his opportunities. You're also missing Arian Foster. You're missing Cushing.
Yeah, a lot of injuries.
So you got guys that are out on that team that are impact players that you do see a different game. You got your head coach sitting up in the booth.
And he's on the hot seat, too, so he can't risk either, tanking the rest of the season.
I wouldn't say he's at full strength. I mean, I'm sure he's being monitored, too, with the way that he went down. So this is not right now the Texan team that people had expected to see. Is, you know, for one, personnel is missing. And then, too, they're not playing real well this season at all.
No, not at all. And, I mean, he said he just saw the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, I thought they looked really ugly. I mean, for the rest of most of the game, you know, it was the Jaguars playing pretty well on defense. Not so much that they were playing poor, but then the fourth quarter, I mean, I don't know what happened to Case Keenum in those final couple drives, but he wasn't even coming close to guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, I'll say about the Jags is, you know, when you're playing games and, it's not a pressure game. It's not if you win this game, you win the division, or you got to go to playoffs. You know, how will the team respond now on that second level, which I'm sure I'm talking, you know, long term, when it's a game that's on the line, you know, when it's a big game, you know, the pressure. It's easy to play loose and aggressive when you're not playing for anything, but how about when you got something on the line? Do you tighten up? Are you, which, you know, again, we'll have to wait a while to see that from this team, I think.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Brian in Ponte Vedra Beach. Brian, how you doing?
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking my call. That last caller was way off base by saying that. The Jaguars won the game. It wasn't a sound defeat, but I'll tell you what, they were evenly matched, and they did a great job. And you got to give it up to, you know, Gus Bradley for the leadership and bringing the guys together, and they're playing tremendously. Chad Henning didn't give up one interception today. And he was in the pocket a lot of the time. And I said it 3 weeks ago, I think he's the future of the Jaguars quarterbacks. Who knows? I could be wrong. But I love the game today, and it's a sound win.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the quarterbacks on this roster right now, I agree with you. I think Chad Henne is the man. But, I mean, the dude's pushing 30. You know, he's been around the NFL a while. I could easily see him being next year and maybe even getting a starting nod for at least the first couple games, and whoever the Jaguars pick, if it's a QB, have him sit for a little bit, learn the system a little bit. I mean, you saw what happened with Blaine Gabbert when he got thrown in there right away. Wasn't very good, and most guys, you know, aren't the best. Lately, yeah, there's been a few breakout guys, and that's why everybody thinks you need that starting quarterback to come in right away. But I can see Chad Henne being here and being the starter next year as well.
Well, you know, it's an audition for him right now. These last few games are all about his opportunity season yet. You know, he's been in the league, like you said, for 6 seasons now, and I'm sure he wants to make a home someplace. And by performing well these last few weeks, I think it will give him that opportunity, especially going into the training camp next year. He'll have himself in that top slot, and everybody else will be chasing him.
And at very worst, he's proven himself as a suitable backup. I mean, you know, he could always hang around here as the backup in case somebody goes down, you know, little tutoring job. You know, I mean, yeah, definitely. I don't think he's the future, as in the next 3 years, 2-3 years. But yeah, maybe sticking around for next year, sure, why not? 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, how you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening, Thomas?
I just wanted to really talk about the D line. The caller previously, not the one, the guy that just called from Palm Beach when he mentioned Tyson. You know, I think Tyson's doing a good job for what he's asked to do, and that's being very stout against the run and trying to get a push. But where I've been most impressed is the progression of Andre Branch and even how Ryan Davis looked. I think it's more so an indictment on Jason Babin that these young guys are starting to come along at that Leo and rush end spot. But I've been overall really impressed with what Gus Bradley and Babich are starting to do with that defense. And for me, it just goes to show that, you know, this time around when you listen to Gus talk about, you know, following the process and things like that, that, you know, it might validate what he's actually saying and not like what we were listening to with Malarkey last year. And finally, you know, with the way that Henny's playing, to be honest with you, if the way that Caldwell decided to go would be to, you know, kind of let him be the game manager and build up the talent, I wouldn't have any problem with that at all, and, you know, until we could get a franchise guy. But thanks for taking my call, guys. Love the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the official stats, but I bet if you look over the past 3 games, including this one, the Jags probably have the best run defense in the league over the past 3 games. I mean, they're playing lights out.
They've been very inconsistent. It's been a really good defensive improvement since the beginning of the season. You look at, like, specifically that defensive line. I think the change at being more aggressive blitz calling and having more looks defensively is helping that defensive line. Before, it was just lined up pretty vanilla, having 4 guys just lined up there and just trying to go get it. But now they're bringing linebackers, bringing guys out the secondary.
And I think that has a lot to do with them trusting the secondary more now, that they know they can play some more man coverage. Where in the beginning, when you're throwing out, you know, 7th-round picks and 3rd-round picks, these guys that are rookies that have no game experience, you don't want them going on an island by themselves to bring extra rushers. So you're going to bring 4 and then help those guys out on the back end. Now they're proving they can cover guys one-on-one, so you can see them sending linebackers. Mm-hmm. You see them sending more and getting a little bit more pressure.
It's making a big difference.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Will on the south side. Will, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Hey, do you guys have time for 2 questions?
Yeah, what you got?
First, I want to know what you all think about, you know, recently Jacksonville, the city, and Shad Khan put some money into making renovations for the stadium. What are the chances that we're going to move to London? What do you guys think?
I think it's slim to none. I mean, logistically, just any team to be in London, number one. I was over there with the team. It's a nightmare logistically to get teams to either go out there, and I don't think the NFL is quite ready. And as the Jaguars go, I don't think it would be the Jaguars, because like you said, you got all these great innovation or changes coming to the stadium. You know, Shad Khan's putting his money into that. Why would you make such a big investment if you're only going to keep the team here for another year or 2 or 3 years and then bounce them?
Okay. Well, also, I was wondering, what do you guys think about Howard Stern's penis?
Really, though?
I can't say anything about it because I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, but hey, what are you going to do? 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming right back, taking more of your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Baba Booey to you all on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And this injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Really only one on the game, and it was Justin Forsett. After the game, Coach Gus Bradley said he's in a boot, which to me doesn't sound good, but you never know. They're going to find out more tomorrow and let us know in the afternoon press conference. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Taking your calls. Going right back to the phones with Mike in St. Augustine. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, great, guys. Jay, Marco, awesome show. I just feel that Gus has turned the corner. I think that we may give up some drafting slot volume. You know, we may get dropped to the fifth, whatever. I just feel that it's better to come across with some energy, you know, going forward. And I'll take the crapshoot of the draft. And one more thing. Hey, Marco.
Yeah.
You put me on the wheels of steel on that stadium, that place would be going off and we would never lose a game. Look at the guys that are doing the Chicago Bulls. They're my buddies. I used to mix on the one and twos with those guys.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have Skinner in the crate? That's what I need to know.
I have everything in the crate because I cater to the people who listen.
I feel you, baby.
Everybody. I love it. Hey, I even got the Boogie Down Bronx for you so you can get on your pack.
<They're>, my man.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, you know. I don't even know what to say. This show's gone off the rails, man.
That's all good. Give us a call.
No, you know, it's always funny to get into the end of the season when you have a slot where you have a definite need, as in quarterback, and you have good quarterbacks coming out, and it's the, what do you want more? Do you want the Jags to win a couple games and, you know, be good for fan morale, be good for Gus Bradley and the team, or do you want to see them lose? I'm not saying lose on purpose, but, you know, to get into that number one slot to get the best available quarterback, or even maybe trade down one or two slots and pick up some more draft picks along the way.
Well, you know, draft picks are all speculative. You just don't know what you're going to get. You've seen numerous guys that have been Heisman Trophy winners, college football players of the year, and things of that nature, and come into the league, and they don't produce anything. So you don't know exactly what you're going to get, even though you do have a high first-round pick. You know, but so I think that the most important thing, especially with a team that has been losing over the past few seasons, is developing a winning atmosphere. You got these young guys that are looking to be the leaders of your team. Establishing and understanding what it takes to win, I think, is probably the most important thing for the long term than it is trying to lose a bunch of games to get a draft pick where you're not sure exactly what they're going to pan out to be.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? The year Donovan McNabb was drafted, that class, forget the year, I think 99 was the year.
Yeah,
that was supposed to be a huge quarterback class with like six guys, I think, going in the first round. And really, McNabb's the only one that really did anything. I mean, Culpepper for a little bit, but most of those guys you never heard from again. Mm-hmm. So again, this year, you know, supposed to have a big quarterback class. You know, maybe four or five of them don't pan out.
Yeah, you just don't know. Rookies, you just don't know. I mean, so many guys that have, you know, gone undrafted, free agents that end up being, you know, Hall of Famers.
Yeah, you talk about Tom Brady in the sixth round.
Exactly.
That's always the prime.
So you just don't know what you're going to get. Wins are more important.
355 NFL 1, 355-6351. Going to Jay in Clay County. Jay, how you doing?
Hey, doing good here. Now we won a game again.
Yeah.
Hey, our defense is doing it. And I think Gus Bradley being a defensive-minded guy, we ought to go ahead and go in the draft and keep building the defense. What do you think?
I wouldn't mind that at all. I mean, if Clowney's out there, you know, pass rush is another huge need of this team. And, you know, depending on what happens, I was real high on Jameis Winston, but depending on what happens with this court case that might go through, you never know if he's even going to come out next year. So I think at this point, I might be changing my mind and say you kind of need to go the quarterback this year. Whereas last week I was saying, yeah, definitely go after the defensive pass rusher. Wait a year, because if you don't get a quarterback, you're probably going to be in that same position, and you'll have Jameis Winston available for you. Now, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, it's tough to see. I mean, which one of these players that come out that are going to be coming out of the into the draft will be able to impact your team enough to be taken in that first round? We're going to have to just sit, wait, and look at the you know, the evaluations that Caldwell they put together on what's going to be the best pick that they choose, the best player that they think that's going to be available.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
time.
A couple weeks ago, the guy from Oregon was going high on draft boards. The guy from Baylor was getting high on draft boards, and then after this week, they might be falling into the second round. I mean, you know, it's so early to tell. You know, you still got all the college bowl games to worry about. Then you got the Senior Bowl, and then you got the Combine. So there's a long process to go before you figure out who's going to be who. I mean, a couple years ago, Matt Barkley was ranked as the top quarterback, didn't come out, and then he fell to the fourth round.
Man, let me tell you, if A.J. McCarron wins another national championship, I think any team in the league that passes on him will be making a huge mistake. He's a winner, man, and been in school for 4 years, mature. He's ready, in my opinion, to impact a team immediately when he comes in the league. You know, like
just
I said about those, I really like him. You got to have tools around him, and like that's any of those players. You figure even if you get Clowney, Clowney is only going to be as good as the guys that are interior that are rushing, the line, and that secondary that's able to cover. So any guy you pick, especially the rookies, is going to be about what type of team you're able to build around them.
Yeah, but when you say impact too, I mean, if you get a guy like Clowney, you can easily see him getting double teamed every time, freeing up somebody else. So those guys around him will have to step up.
We're going to have to prove that he deserves a double team. I mean, like I said, there's been a lot of rookies that have been outstanding in college. And they, you know, I remember Andre Bruce that was just a monster for Auburn. Then he just, where did he go when he got into the NFL? You know what I mean? So you got so many players, quarterbacks, defensive guys, that they're going to have to prove themselves when they get in this league before they, you know, I think before they warrant these double teams.
Y'all can't be Marco Coleman's, just come in there, get a double team right off the start before you even play the game. There are three people on you.
Boy, man, I had big, I played against some old school tackles, man, and they were, man, that rookie year was tough, man.
Big adjustment to the NFL.
Oh, man, you know, grown men fighting for checks to pay for their families, man. It's a different ball game going from college to the pros. It really is. It's a big adjustment on the field and off the field. So, you know, those guys that are able to handle it, those are the ones that will be able to, that are successful.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We are taking more of your calls after the break. Don't forget, fans, that you can score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Coming right back, taking more of your calls on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. It is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Taking your calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Mike in Arlington. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine today. My question would be, if the Jacksonville Jaguars coach Gus Bradley, the guy to lead the Jacksonville Jaguars to a Super Bowl in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years because of Seattle's defense that he built 2 years ago?
I mean, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl in the next 3 years, but competitive for the playoffs? Oh, definitely.
No Super Bowl?
I'm saying, is it likely in 3 years, the way this team has played so far? Yeah, they got some pieces together, but I don't think to get all the way to the Super Bowl in 3 years. But to make the playoffs in 3 years, definitely.
I see all they need is a quarterback. That's it. The wide receivers are there. Everything is there. Just a quarterback.
Right. Okay,
this is a Super Bowl contending team.
What about Maurice Jones-Drew? He might not be back next year.
Jones will be on fire next year.
How do you know he's coming back here next year?
2011, 1,600 rushing yards. 2012, he had to carry the ball by himself. That's how he got injured.
Mike.
No offensive line.
He's a free agent next year. Do you think he's coming back, number one? And
Cobb's going to re-sign him.
Make him an offer he can't refuse, huh?
I see a lot more holes than just a quarterback on this team. We need some pass rushers. We need some.
Right.
You know, if Justin Blackmon can't get his stuff together, we need another receiver because there's not enough threats there. And offensive line help as well. I mean, you know, once we get Luke Jokel back, that'll help. But you still need some help. Brad Meester's not going to be around forever.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, you really got a chance in the early part of the season to see exactly where this team, how it matches up and where they need to be. You know, when they faced the Kansas City Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Colts even, the Broncos, the Chargers, you saw the areas where this team really needs to upgrade. At their wide receiver position, you don't know what the situation is with Blackmon, of course, at the quarterback position, protecting the quarterback, like you mentioned. And I want to say along the front seven altogether, even at the linebacker position, when they played real teams, teams that can legitimately get it going, these past 3 weeks, realistically, it's been some cream puffs, you know, for all intents and purposes. Every team in the league, of course, you got to play hard. But these aren't the best teams that you're going to find in the NFL. But when they went against those teams, the biggest glaring holes were in that front seven. And then that also, I'm gonna say the running back position. I mean, he's, you know, Maurice in the first part.
He had a great game this week, but
he's playing against some chumps.
To be honest with
you,
he still hasn't had a 100-yard game. And you know, as a running back, that's your benchmark right there. And he's, you know, while he's getting better each and every week, mm-hmm. It seems like he's not hitting that benchmark of 100-yard games. And you can tell. Other than this game, I'm gonna say this game, he actually looked like the old Maurice Jones-Drew. But other than that, all year long, has not looked like himself.
Yeah, you know, like I said, since the bye week, they've faced teams that legitimately you can say they match up fairly evenly with teams that are close to being in the same type of situation. New head coaches or coaches that have just gotten in position, young quarterbacks, you know, or things of that nature. So that's been the difference. So this team does still, even though they've gotten these couple wins, looking pretty good. They got a ways to go.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going to John in Jacks Beach. John, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How you guys?
Good, man.
Good.
Hey, so what are we going to do with Justin Blackmon? I mean, the guy, two substance abuse, suspensions. What should we do?
I say you got to keep him because he's that good of a player. Once he gets his personal life figured out, he could be an amazing player. I mean, we could be talking about maybe Hall of Fame type numbers because just look what he did this year. You know, we were real hard on him, especially on the show when he got suspended the first time this year. And he came back and proved us wrong. You know, he came in there and he was looking good. He came back in shape. He was lighter. He was quicker. And I think he was leading the NFL in yards after the catch after only two games when everybody else had played about six. And then we get more personal off-the-field issues. So you got, I mean, he's too good of a player just to give up on him and give up on a talent like that, especially how young he is. He might just be young and stupid, and once he gets, you know, the help he needs and maybe gets some counseling along the way and maybe even has like a mentor that's with him 24/7. I mean, he's got a big enough paycheck. He could probably afford it. Maybe he can be a good player and clean his act up.
We know he's an outstanding physical presence when he's on that football field, and now it's just a matter of getting his off the field issues together, and that's about maturity. You know,
he's a young kid still.
Like I said, we throw a lot on these guys when they first come into the league, and the reality of it is that they're 21, 22, just like the rest of the 21, 22, 23 year olds. So a lot of people that are in their 45, 50, 60 years old need to think back to when you were 21 and a lot of decisions that you made.
And getting the giant game check like they're
getting. I mean, it's tough to, you know, he did make a mistake, and you got to kind of think back again, you know, when you were that age and the type of how many things you did that you regret that you had done.
I mean, it doesn't even necessarily go to just Justin Blackmon, but I mean, they did a special on ESPN, you know, a couple months back about all these NBA players that are dead broke now because they had entourages and they didn't know how to handle getting that amount of money that young. And I think a lot of that has to do with Justin Blackmon as well. It's, you know, he's not necessarily sure how to handle the fame, handle the money, and maybe handle some old friends that he might not be should be hanging around.
You know,
with.
A lot of people look at the, you know, like a Peyton Manning and say, oh, what about, why can't he be like Peyton and Eli and how those guys? I mean, you got to think about it now. They had a dad that was a professional quarterback, so they were groomed and understood what it takes to get through there. So, you know, having the guidance, you know, is definitely is a major part, you know, and I think that the Jaguars right now want to provide them with that. And at some point, I'm sure they're going to say, look, it's going to have to stop, and they're going to cut ties. So I think they're going to continue to give him some support and give him another opportunity. You know, young guy, you might as well. Why not?
Yeah, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, taking your calls. And, I mean, he's a huge weapon right now for the Jags, and you see the way the offense suffers when he's not in there. I mean, you know, you only scored 13 points today, and for a while there, the offense disappears. You know, in the past two wins that the Jaguars have had, that fourth quarter when you have 4 or 5 minutes left on the clock and all you have to do is get a couple first downs, and the Jaguars are struggling to do it, and you've seen the Tennessee game, they let them back into it and had a chance for them to win it. Luckily, they got, you know, the fumble return back for a touchdown. This week, again, Texans were driving, had a chance to tie it up, maybe send it to overtime. Luckily, they get the interception. But it shouldn't even be at those plays if you have playmakers that, A, are going to make the first downs when you're in a third and eight and have to pass, or B, that'll open up the running game a little more so you can chew more clock at the end.
There's no physicality in the passing game. You would think that Mercedes Lewis would add that element in the passing game, but they don't go after him that often. I don't know where he's been or what the reason is for not targeting him more often in his mismatches against linebackers and also with the safeties.
One catch today for 18 yards.
And that's been the case over the past couple of weeks. He'll maybe get one or two catches during the course of a whole game. But when Blackmon is in, he is a mismatch. He is tough to handle. He is a guy that's going to require a double team. And like you said, that completely changes the game for Cecil Shorts, for Ace Sanders. You know, those guys will now have more opportunities. Now you can get people down the field. A tough wide receiver that's going to battle for the ball. When Shorts is in a situation where it's him, those 50-50 tough balls, he doesn't win a lot of those interactions. He doesn't win a lot of them. But Mr. Blackmon, on the other hand, does it all the time.
And we know one thing I got to say about this offense, I know we're both happy. They were finally taking shots down the field, and you're seeing some of the trickery that Denard Robinson could bring. I mean, he threw a bullet to Cecil Shorts. Now, Cecil didn't come up with the catch. But those are the kind of things you figure you can have with a Denard Robinson. You know, unfortunately, maybe once or twice per game because the defense is going to start catching on to him, and it just sucks that they couldn't connect on the first one.
Yeah, my thing is, you know, with a player like Denard Robinson, I think you go into each and every game with like 4 to 5 plays that are his plays. Now, we might call him or we might not, but he's got hitting the Denard Robinson pass.
The wildcat run, the wildcat pass, the double halfback pass, yes. Maybe you never know.
And now all of a sudden when teams are preparing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know what? They've got to take time out in their preparation to prepare for plays that they may not even see. But you got to be ready for them. So having Denard Robinson in the game, not only does it helps their offense in a way that, you know, creates some opportunity for big plays, but puts that other defense in a situation where they got to spend a whole lot of extra time on something that's, you know, is not a high likelihood of actually seeing.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351, going to Allen in Orange Park. Allen, how you doing?
Hey, good evening. Hey, Mark, I heard you talk about Justin Blackmon there. You know, he's had problems ever since he was even at Oklahoma and coming through the NFL. If Tom Coughlin was here by now, he'd be gone because character count. And everyone on the team is busting their butt, and they get let down by this guy twice, maybe three times. I don't think he deserves another chance. He gets paid too much money to be a professional.
Yeah, but if you don't know how to be a professional, I mean, you know, you got to realize that these guys don't necessarily know. They don't necessarily have the upbringing. And just to give up on them, let's say they do. Let's say they get rid of him. And you know what? I guarantee there's going to be another team in the league that picks him up. And let's say he did clean up his act. Maybe that was, you know, the hit rock bottom point where he got suspended for the rest of the year. He's in rehab, and that was his rock bottom, and he cleaned it up. And then he tears it up for another team. Do you want to take that chance?
We can exit.
Yeah, I'll take that chance because you're paying the other guys too much money on that. So now showing they're working their tail ends off, getting good wins because they're working hard and building for the future. And to me, Justin Blackman coming back to the locker room is a disruption. And the focus will go away. And you can look at Aaron Hernandez. Look where that got him. He did great for a while, but he had problems coming out of Florida. Everyone knew it. And, you know, it finally caught up with him. It'll catch up with Justin Blackman, too.
Yeah, but look at, I mean, you know, not to take anything away, but look at a guy like Chris Carter. Same deal. Randy Moss, same deal. All had problems. They were coming out like that, and Chris Carter turned his life around. He's a Hall of Famer. Randy Moss turned his life around, probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
We can go down the list of a lot of players that have played in this NFL, that have had some type of problem off the field, but by some patience and by someone taking them under the wing and giving them some proper guidance, they've been able to go on and be outstanding players. With Justin Blackman, you know, he has hurt himself. You know, one thing that you can say that the contract that was negotiated for him took all that in consideration. So right now, he's looking at his pocket and it's being depleted. He has taken a severe hit, you know, financially by, you know, his actions. So
it's not costing him that much.
It's not costing the Jaguars right now. Like, they prepared themselves for that if he did make those type of create that kind of situation. And again, as a young guy and as an organization, you know, even it is professional football, you picked him early for a reason. They trust him. They like him. He is liked in the locker room. He's not a distraction. Guys are concerned. You know, you talk about guys in the locker room and ask them how they feel about Blackman, he's a good teammate. He comes out and he works hard. He's loved in the locker room. And I think even the coach, they've gone to now being more concerned about Justin Blackman, the person, as opposed to Justin Blackman, the athlete. Because they know if they get this person together, they're going to have an outstanding football player. And it goes beyond that. Now, of course, they're going to spend a little bit of time. This season, you know, for all intents and purposes, they knew it wasn't going to be a great season. So if he's not prepared as his team goes on and looking to really make a run for a playoffs and he can't contribute, I think at that point, you'll see him cut ties. But right now, a team that's trying to grow, why not go ahead, put your arms around a guy that you know can help you, and get him together and see if he can turn himself around.
Let's go to John in Jack's Beach. John, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. To stay on the Justin Blackman topic, you got to think that we would have had, you know, at least one more touchdown, maybe another 10 points this game if we would have had him. And I was wondering, they never really said what he got suspended for, just substance. Was he like freebasing crack? Or
yeah, you'll never find. I mean, that's part of the NFL's rules and their policies is to keep those things under wraps of what they actually do. So you'll probably never find that out unless he wants to leave himself.
Yeah, but I know Von Miller, they came out and said, or I don't know, it might have been him that came out and said it, that he was taking Adderall or something like that. I mean, that stuff's everywhere now. Do you think he's going to be able to stay clean?
I would hope so. I mean, you know, they say a lot of times that you got to hit rock bottom and maybe getting suspended twice in one season, realizing you may never play in the NFL again, and while you're in rehab, that might be his rock bottom and can turn it around.
Yeah, you know, and originally he was, you know, in the program because of his issues with alcoholism. And, you know, once you're in that program, you know, he can't drink any alcohol at all. I mean, who's to say, you know, he could have just had one simple glass of wine in the confines of his home, although that was something he can't do. But something that might, he didn't have to be sloppy drunk, and there it is, he failed the test. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be a real elaborate, just going off the edge, Vegas, you know, type of, binge. Yeah, you don't have to do that. But once you're in that program, if you try, and he was in it long enough, you know, just, you know, from being a part of the NFLPA and knowing the process, that they start to change up the routine of testing players.
And just be a little sneaky.
Yeah, and like I said, he's a young dude, and they try, you know, just like all the rest of the young adolescents today, they look and try to find ways to beat the system. I mean, it's not uncommon. I mean, I had to just single him out and say, he, you know, of course he's in the spotlight, but he still is a 22-year-old doing what 22-year-olds do. Now, it's a lot of guys that haven't gotten caught. And we want to say, oh, what about the rest of the guys in the league? They've just been better than he has as far as not getting caught.
You hear it all the time. One segment left here on the Scoreboard Show, taking your calls at 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll wrap it up after this here on Jaguars Radio. Bueller Switch Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Switch Watches are available at Allen Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelers in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. This is Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. We're taking your calls, and let's go to Robert in Fernandina Beach. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good, Robert.
I just wanted to make a couple observations. I mean, you look at our team, and people don't realize just really how young we are, and until you are playing and you get to understanding how the players around you are playing, you know, they're starting to gel, you know, they're starting to look good, and they're you know, they're picking it up. As young as they are, I think that they're doing real well, especially these last two games. You know, even though Tennessee and Texas didn't have their frontline team there, they're all professional football players. They're out there, and they're supposed to be players. So I don't take that as being chumps or anything like that. If you're in the NFL, you're a player. You know, so I think people ought to take into consideration how young our team is and just see how much they are developing. And this thing with Blackmon, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's as much his agent's fault as it is anybody's fault, because these agents, they sign these players, and then they throw him to the Wolves. I've got a friend who's got two players on the Jaguars. He's an agent. And these two guys are two of the greatest guys you want to know. And what he's done is he's invested his life in them. And, you know, he takes care of them. He's taught them what they should be doing with their millions of dollars. And tried to teach them, you know, what kind of lifestyle to live and stuff, you know, instead of just taking their money and saying, okay, have fun, you know?
Yeah, great point.
So I think it's as much the agents as it is anybody else.
I mean, you have a lot of people to blame. There's a lot of – everybody looks back as the, you know, who could have been there. You just need a good support system, that's all. But, you know, I got to thank everybody for calling in today. We go to Cleveland next week. And Cleveland, another one of those teams that they're dealing with backup quarterbacks, backup running backs.
New head coach.
So, again, you got the Jaguars and a team that they should beat. Now, Cleveland did play good for a little while. They've got some weapons on that team. They've got a great tight end and a great receiver. You got Josh Gordon, and the tight end's name's escaping me right now. But so they've got some weapons on offense. Defense looked a little shaky today against Pittsburgh. But again, the game of Jaguars should win.
Mm-hmm. Another team that they match up well. I mean, they're a team that they're in the same situation as. You know, they're where the organization and the team is going is almost identical when you talk about what's happening in Cleveland and here with the Jaguars.
So what do you think? You think they get the win next week?
It's possible. Up there, it's going to be cold. It's going to be a different deal. You know, they've been able to go on the road and
back-to-back road games. It was tough as well.
Yeah, and in the division also. I mean, you figure they wouldn't beat Tennessee when they legitimately were still in the hunt for the playoffs and were able to get that win. So, you know, the conditions, you know, more than likely are going to be very unfavorable. You know, they're probably talking about 20-degree weather. The dog pound is tough to play in. They back their team. So it's going to be a tough environment. And, you know, we'll see how resilient the team is and how consistent they can be.
You got that game and then a quick turnaround to play Houston again on a short week. So in a matter of the next, you know, 10 days, the Jaguars could theoretically see them win three games in a row.
Let's see.
Did you ever think we're going to be talking about that this year?
Well, like I said, when I looked at the latter part of the season and the teams they had to play, I knew that there were going to be some wins coming their way. I'm not surprised at the teams that they're beating and that they're winning a couple of games here coming out. I mean, so far, the teams that I had thought that they would lose to, there's on the Cardinals they have.
And we have some breaking news here. Marco, with his first tweet.
I tweeted, baby. Yeah.
You got your first tweet in there.
I was at a chamber event, Jack's chamber event, man, and it was exciting hanging out with at the Budweiser factory, man. It was great.
What's your Twitter handle so people can follow you?
MDC Live.
And I'm Jay Gray _ WOKV. So hit us both up. We tweet on occasion, Marco, maybe a little less than I do, but what are you going to do?
Holla at your boy.
Thanks for listening. We're back again next week when we finish up with the Cleveland Browns. We'll be taking your calls on the air. This is the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.